Hey, America.
Start listening now.
All right. So, Derek, we really kind of have to put our noses to the grindstone here and try to figure out a way to make Eurovision more marketable and more palatable to a pan-American audience. I mean, what ideas have you had?
Well, I was talking about this with the boys downstairs, and we went into the studio and recorded a little something, and I just take a listen and tell me what you think.
All right, play it.
It's Eurovision apostrophe 21. It's Saturday, May 22nd. It's Eurovision. Kids' seats are still just $85.
Get your tickets now.
So, what'd you think? Pretty good, huh?
Eric, you're fired.
Personally, I loved it.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty good.
Evidently, I'm fired. Again.
Yep. And welcome to another turbocharged episode of 12 Points from America, a Eurovision podcast from America, the country that's got all this scrap metal. I'm Eric.
I'm Derek.
I'm Samantha.
I'm Danny.
Congratulations if you are one of our five listeners on Long Island that have gotten that reference.
Everybody loves Two Brothers Scrap Metal here in America. It snowed today in Minnesota.
It's gone already. What?
I know, but it did. It snowed.
It's the middle of April, and it's, you know, Then again, I really shouldn't be surprised. The number of times that I have gone to Eurovisions in Scandinavia for warmer weather than what we've got here in the Twin Cities. Like,
this is like how it was 75 degrees in early March. Like, we're fine. We'll get it all.
We'll be okay.
Yeah. Speaking of things that are okay, Sam, hit it with the socials.
Hey, find us on social media at 12pointsUSA on either Facebook or Twitter, or email us directly at 12pointsfromamerica@gmail.com. Well, hey, or scope us out on our Redbubble if you'd like to support the site that way and get some sweet merch while you're at it. That's just redbubble.com. Just search for 12 Points from America. You get your Chainsaw U t-shirts, your Rhythm Inside to keep it safe from bears, hats, your just logoed masks, whatever you damn well feel like. We got it.
Yep. You can get a mask. You can emblazon our logo upon your face. I can think of no greater honor than to have people all over the world just having 12 the 12 points logo just all up in here.
Thank God you can't see what I'm doing,
but like.
All right, so we've got a handful of songs that we're going to cover on this. This is our fourth show. So many shows. But before we roll into our song reviews, it looks like we've got news. Is that right?
Just a little bit.
Who wants to hit us off? Start us off here. Okay, I guess it's me then.
Yep.
All right. It is official. For the first time in 25 years, a Eurovision song has cracked the Billboard Hot 100 here in the United States. The Dunk has done it 2 years after the fact. We have Arcade as time of recording at spot number 100.
Oh, I thought it was Secret Garden that finally made it.
Oh, those Norwegians take their time, don't they?
Yes, they do. I would know.
Oh, no wonder you're 20 minutes late to every recording session.
Oh!
Got him.
Hey. But yeah, Arcade is actually on... It's here.
What was the last one? Was it Gina G?
It was Gina G.
Just a little bit, yeah. Right. A song that I loved as a kid without even knowing that it was a Eurovision song.
Same.
Yeah. It was just, you know, a Eurobop.
That song came out 25 years ago in 1996.
Came out 25 years ago in 2018.
Oh, God. Feels like it, doesn't it?
Yeah. The Billboard Charts Twitter account actually posted a list of every Eurovision song that has entered the Hot 100.
Mm-hmm.
And it is the 11th song to do so ever.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Out of a couple thousand. and yeah, the Dunk this week, Gina G in 1997 was previously the most recent. Before that, if you had to guess, Sam, you might know. I don't know.
Was it Waterloo?
Nope. A little bit more recent than that. It was Save Your Kisses for Me.
Okay.
For real?
In 1976. So, before Gina G, you have to go back to 76. Then there were actually two songs from 74 that charted. Waterloo is one. And then Mocedades?
That actually, I think, was actually a misprint, because Mocedades was the year before Waterloo. It may have charted in America in the English language version the following year, but the contest is, it was from the previous contest.
Gotcha. This list notes Arcade as being from 2021, so that is probably the case.
Okay.
We have a couple that charted in 1972. That's Beg, Steal, or Borrow by New Seekers and Knock Knock Who's There by Mary Hopkins. Before that, we have to go back to 1968. Cliff Richards, congratulations.
Mm.
Before that, we have Ronnie Carroll's Say Wonderful Things from 1963. And the first two are both by the same artist.
Yep. Domenico Modugno.
That's right. Volare, Nel Plu Dipinto di Blu in 58. And Piove, Ciao Ciao Bambino, a song saying goodbye to Babe Ruth in 1959.
I would have thought Boom Bang a Bang would have made it on.
No, Lulu had other hits in the US, but Boom Bang a Bang did not cross over here.
Huh.
My fondest memory related to Nel Plu Dipinto di Blu will forever be when I was on a train in Paris and a guy with a microphone and a little mini speaker got on and started singing it to the whole train. I thought it was delightful. Nobody else did. I was like, that's a Eurovision song. And Danny was like, I don't care.
I think at this point, though, Nel Plu Dipinto di Blu might be the only Eurovision song to have won a Grammy in the U.S. So I think the dunk still has that high watermark to hit. But either way, he's joined a very, very exclusive club, and we are very happy to have him crossing over, even if it's just literally number 100 at the Hot 100.
He made it.
He made it. It's impressive.
Yeah, take that every other song besides the 99 ahead of it.
Speaking of other unexpected awards and nods, the Hugo Award nominations came out today, which is the prize, if you're not familiar with it, for basically science fiction writing, science fiction programming, everything from short stories and novels to, it turns out, television and film in this case. And the story of Fire Saga was basically nominated as best science fiction movie?
How?
The elves.
How?
The elves.
Just because of the elves, which are like not even...
I don't know, but evidently it's elfy enough to have gotten a nod for best dramatic presentation.
I mean, to be fair, the Hugos have no credibility.
Well, just because you haven't won one.
Let me throw together some crappy science fiction thing. Aliens, wood spirits, Hugo. I might not get the Saturn, but I could still pull off the Hugo, I think.
So they are up for a nomination in Best Dramatic Presentation, Long Form, against Birds of Prey, The Old Guard, Palm Springs, Soul, and Tenet.
I feel like whoever does this just watched six movies last year and was like, those six.
That's Dude, those it, ones.
It was 2020. Those were basically the only movies.
They didn't nominate the Sonic the Hedgehog movie. That's not a... I don't know. What's wrong with that?
They didn't nominate Nomadland. That's science fiction.
Yeah, that never happens in America.
Yeah.
All right. I have I have a thing I want to read. I want to share with you guys and by extension with our wonderful listeners. We happen to be recording today. I thought, oh, this is perfect. I'm going to read this. This is actually from my Facebook memories from 7 years ago today as of recording. So on April 13th, 2014. And this is what I said. I said, Eurovision is awesome. And Samantha Ross is awesome for exposing me to it. Seriously, this is as much fun as I've had in a good while.
Aww.
This was in reference to Sam's Eurovision party. This would have been the first one I attended.
Aww.
So I saw, you know, Conchita and Common Linnets and so forth for the first time. That was my first exposure to like a full Eurovision song contest. And now here I am doing this, a podcast that people listen to. And today, as of this afternoon, I got my accreditation for Rotterdam.
Woo!
So... 7 years to the day after this little party that I went to, it is just crazy how consequential and how amazing of a thing this interest and fandom turned out to be. So thank you, Sam. I echo me from 7 years ago that Sam is awesome. And
thanks, Cast Eric. and current Eric, and possibly
You're
future
welcome.
Eric as well. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll see.
It all changes from here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Aw.
So speaking of awesome things Sam is doing, Sam, you've been doing something awesome.
Yeah, yeah. I've
oh,
been
man,
actually I've
great
I've
at this.
Yeah, I know those segues, man. Yeah, so I've actually been chipping in a little bit. My dear friend Alicia Michelle, who many people in the Eurovision fan community know her great work over on YouTube, her reviews and reaction videos and things like that. She's had a handful of basically ladies' choice, female-led conversations about the contest. And I've been doing a couple of these shows. They're probably about an hour or so a pop. So if you scope out her page on YouTube, just Alicia Michelle, and look for the Ladies' Choice videos, you'll see me, her, and other guests among the Eurovision press fandom. This most recent one we were talking about, the running order in semifinal one is with Vivian Christensen, who's a dear friend of ours from ESC Extra, as well as other previous shows that have had Isan Yard, who's from the Netherlands, Lisa Jane Lewis, who's also from the United Kingdom, who's done some great work in the past. So it's a great little forum, especially for female voices. And I'm very, very grateful that Alicia has had me on. Our newest episode will be coming out on this upcoming Friday, so the same day that this episode is airing. So yeah, hop on YouTube, watch it live if you can, and if not, catch up on it later and let us know what you think. So yeah. Shameless plug.
It's pretty great.
Thanks.
Sam is great.
Aww.
And that's our show.
Oh, all
wait,
right.
Do we have anything else? Oh, crap, we did. We have six songs to get to this week. Just six this week. This is the episode where we would have reviewed Belarus, but we all know what happened there. Yeah.
And I say that as a proud Belarusian American.
Yep.
Yep.
It's the anthem.
Good.
Of Belarus. Yep. Anyway, here we go. We're going to talk about these songs this week. Italy, Croatia, Estonia, Latvia, Norway, Azerbaijan. This is a heck of a lineup, guys, and I cannot wait to
We've had some
argue.
Weeks that have been full oh, of, like, they've just sort of alternated between pretty good and just, like, kind of a dud, but we are going to be running the spectrum so heavily this week. It is...
This is wild.
I honestly can't wait. We should just dive right into it.
Let's do it. All right. Here is our first one of the evening. Monoskin's Zitti e Buoni. Sguardo in alto tipo scalatori, quindi scusa mamma se sono sempre fuori, ma sono fuori di testa, ma diverso da loro. E tu sei fuori di testa, ma diverso da loro. Siamo fuori di testa, ma diversi da loro.
So that's Italy. That's Måneskin with Zitti e Buoni.
See.
This is another song that I have had a odyssey of opinions on. And I think I have settled into a frustratingly sort of middling opinion on this song. I like Italy. I like this song. I love that it is unique in its sound approach and attitude in the context of literally every other entrant into the contest this year. I appreciate the fact that it has a sound that's very much like the hard rock revival of the mid-2000s. Like, this really does sound like it fits into the same era of American rock pop music as, like, Jet and the Donnas, even though it has a little bit of a harder edge. I appreciate that harder edge. And honestly, I would really enjoy this song coming on in between a lot of the same vibey ballads and pop songs that we have this year. In the end, though, I like this song. I think just stepping back from it and approaching it like I would any other song, I just think that's it. I like this song. I don't love it. Let's go to Derek, because I know Derek shares my opinion.
Oh, no, we don't share the same opinion.
Okay.
Because I actively dislike this song.
Derek
oh,
song
God damn it.
let me put this into context for you. If you've ever gone to see a big concert, and when you get there and you're finding your seats, there's another band playing and they're the opening act, and you're only kind of half paying attention to them, and they're okay, that's this band to me. Nothing about this is really standing out to me. It's the nicest thing I can say about it is they're very good amateurs. And they've gotten the fundamentals down, and they wrote a song that sort of fits in their skill set. and it's not, to me, it's just not very innovative, and it doesn't surprise me. It doesn't subvert my expectations or do anything to really stand out. It feels like a rock song from the 90s. Like, it would have appeared on the Clerks soundtrack in between Bad Religion and Soul Asylum. You could remember that. I think they came in third in The Voice of Italy, and I feel like, yeah, that's like a pretty good place for them to be. Like, yeah, they're sort of talented for now, and they might be really great someday, but right now I'm just listening to this and I'm thinking, okay, you got the black mesh shirts and makeup, and you're talking about being angry children. What else you got?
The sound is definitely throwback rock, as opposed to being anything really innovative. Sam?
Yeah, Sam, slay these fools.
Come get some.
This is my number one of the year. Or depending on my mood, it kind of vacillates between this and France, basically. But like, they're very, very, very different moods.
This is not a shock, because I totally understand a person who loves this song. I understand how it is crazy appealing.
I don't.
Yeah, it's gutsy. It feels very, very organic to me. This is a group that they came in, to correct you, they came in second place on the X Factor in Italy. So I don't know who beat them, but it may have been a soloist. But to see a band like this coming out of Italy, and to not only do that, but to win at Sanremo, which for the last couple of years has given us such an incredible variety of music at Eurovision. And just to see the Italians go for this, I'm thrilled by it. They have known each other since high school. They like went to high school together, which also makes me feel really old, because I think they only formed in like 2016.
I was going to be like, it was 2 years ago.
I was going to say, are they still in high school?
Sometimes it looks like it. But they approach this with that sort of retro kind of glam rock, that like you were saying, that jet kind of vibe, which I love. And that was what I was listening to a couple years ago. And I still do. But they're blending it with this, frankly, Italian style and panache that is so magnetic to me and so, so arresting that, you know, this doesn't come out of just anywhere. Like, I look at this and it's not just the language, but I'm like, only Italy can bring us that kind of vibe, that kind of norobimicazzo. Like, I'm just going to go out and do this. I'm going to wear, you know, whatever the hell I want to wear. And it just, it's fearless in a way that is really, really engaging to me. And to see this at Eurovision and like people comparing it naturally to Finland, which is the only close comparison we have this year to rock. I don't agree with the comparison personally, but people are making
completely
the comparison.
Different.
Agreed. And to me, like, this blows Finland out of the water. And it's almost insulting to Italy to even mention Finland in the same breath, in my opinion, anyway. This grabs me, and I love it. I absolutely love it. Eric?
Yeah.
That's it? Okay, yeah.
No.
So our next song.
Don't even think about it. So I am on Sam's side here.
Woo.
I don't know that it's my number one. And it might be. I'm just not sure yet. I don't know that I've really settled on a number one, but this is certainly up there. That said, it is definitely the song I most want to win.
You just want to go to Italy next year.
Well, that's a big part of it, I guess. But like, I can't get enough of this. It is just this intense, attention-grabbing, dirty, sexy, awesome rock song. I think of, you know, there's a little bit of the psych, a little bit of the glam, a little bit of the grunge, almost like a Smashing Pumpkins, or it's hard to put it quite in an American box. And that's good. That's great. I said good and great at the same time. I said it was good. It is so good.
Hey, Girl Squad.
Yeah.
Great and good.
Yeah. Oh man, no, this is just great. It draws me in so much when the snare kicks in sort of halfway through the first verse, and they say "Buonasera, signore, signori." Hello,
good evening, ladies and gentlemen.
Here's what's happening. Here's what we're gonna do. And the song lyrically is basically, we are constantly told to just sit down and shut up, which is more or less what Zitti e Buoni is metaphorically saying, only to say, yeah, we're not going to do that. We're going to be us. We're going to make the music we want. We're going to do it in the styles we want. We're going to dress the way we want. I kind of can't believe that this won San Remo, by the way. Like, how cool is that?
One of the many, many reasons I love San Remo is the fact that...
You don't think that sentiment, that children are told to sit down and shut up and we're not going to do that. That just sounds a little adolescent.
They're in their early 20s, though.
That's something I would expect from like a 15-year-old, not somebody in their 20s.
I mean, it's rebellious. I don't think they're too old to be rebellious. Like if Marilyn Manson, who's like 70, was like, I'm not going to do what you tell me, then yeah, that'd be kind of weird. I don't think this is past that threshold.
Furthermore, having gone through the X Factor system, frankly, the reality TV show system, where they were probably told to be put in a certain kind of box, it could also be artistically, you know, we're going to do what we want to do.
I would hope they'd have a more sophisticated way of saying that then. I was a teacher for a while. I worked with, middle and high schoolers. And that's just the sentiment I'm getting from this. And part of me just wants to respond to this by saying, just grow up. And I think there are songs that deal with that rebelliousness, but in a more interesting way.
I guess I get that, but I don't know that I agree that the way this is presented is that immature or that.
Just the message of it, like that tact. I kept expecting it to subvert my expectations and do something surprising. And it just kind of followed that pop structure, and the chorus just, it, I know I don't speak Italian and I know they're saying different things, but to me it just sounds like he's saying the same line over and over again.
It's he is saying slightly different things in each line. It's basically different conjugations of the term.
Oh, I get that. But it's just like he's just repeating himself.
But at the same time, in a competitive field like Sanremo is and like Eurovision is, you want to be able to have a memorable hook, especially in a international competition where people aren't necessarily going to go in speaking the language. But if you hear that same repetitive hook over and over again, that becomes a call to action and that becomes a memorable point.
I don't think repetition equals memorable necessarily. Honestly, I think there's a lot of songs out there that are repetitive and I find them completely annoying.
They'll teach their own. Yeah. Oh, I mean, man. I love this. You don't. And that's totally fine.
Is it?
Sometimes no, it's the caller is necessary.
We're not talking about that song in this show, man.
No one's talking about that song.
Thank God.
I will note there are a couple of lyrical changes to the San Remo version here. For kind of amusing reasons, there are a couple of Italian F-bombs in the original version that are taken out, but they also took out what I understand is an Italian expression for what I don't remember exactly, but it translates essentially to "you'd better touch your nuts."
Oh,
they had to take that out, and the line is "vi conviene toccarvi I coglioni." And it was changed to "vi conviene non fare I più errori," which
make
is
any mistakes, yeah.
"Don't make any mistakes." Yeah.
Is it I swearing think it's like on watch your nuts it. Where we got the phrase "testify," or is that just an urban legend?
I don't know.
Ooh,
we'll look into that as we listen to our next song, perhaps.
All right, solid props. That was a good segue there.
It really wasn't, but thank you.
I'll do what you got to do. So, what do we have next then?
It's Croatia. This is so very different from Italy. I'm very excited. It's Croatia. Her name is Albina. The song is TikTok, spelled with C's this time.
So that is Croatia's entry for this year, TikTok by Albina. I've got nothing against this. It's not particularly deep, but it's fun. It's enjoyable. I'll dance to the Euro Club in this. But I feel like in a year where there are so many entries that are up-tempo, high-energy, female-presented, I worry that this might get lost in the shuffle unless there's something really, really special in the performance. That being said, in studio, I'm enjoying this wholeheartedly. In the video, I'm envious of the Croatian costuming budget. And also,
boys look so cold.
And their teddy bear budget, I have to say, I think basically could have been given to like the Bosnian delegation. They could have shown up this year if they had just spent the teddy bear money and, you know, helped their neighbors out. But
what's the exchange rate for dollars to teddy bears in Croatia?
The answer may surprise you. I have here. I have similar feelings to Sam. First off, I looked, and yeah, in Italy, it's a superstition that touching your male groin is a like thing to ward off evil or bad luck.
But what if you're touching somebody else's male groin? Like, where does this lead me?
That, consensually,
that doesn't. That doesn't ward off anything besides your own freedom.
And your friends,
apparently.
Maybe.
Yeah. Apparently, however, in the late 2000s, a judge ruled that it is not like appropriate to touch your groin in public. So you're technically not allowed to do it. But
and that explains the Italian economy. You're not allowed to touch your nuts anymore.
That's right. Anyway, TikTok is a song from. It's not, I have to keep correcting myself. It's not from Albania. It's by Albina.
I literally
Albina.
Kept having the same thing. It's not Albania. Her name is just Albina.
Right. Yeah.
So if she duetted with Albano.
Oh, don't. Don't. My mind can't take it.
Okay. Okay. Sorry. Go on.
Yeah. It's all right. You know, like it's certainly a step up from. I don't even remember what it was that I called a literal five last week, because it's a literal five. Like, I don't remember, but this is certainly a step or two up from that. Like, it's fun, it's well done, but it doesn't have that standout sort of aspect to it the way that like Malta does, or like I think Greece does, or that a number of others do. I think it is a well done pop song that just. It's what it is. I have a hard time coming up with a lot to say about it.
Danny, Derek, what say you, you contrarians?
I was looking at the first semifinal, and I think there are 10 female-led bops just in that semi.
Oof.
Which is kind of absurd. I mean, you could argue a couple of those aren't really bops, but they're like more high-energy, high-tempo female singers. And I'm just like, man, you guys are going to eat each other alive, and... I'm already thinking like one or two songs might get through that are like, how did that get through? And it's like, because people just couldn't decide which of the bops to go for. This one, I kind of like it. It's, I think, serviceable. As you often say in Sam's preview parties, it's pleasant, which is like a 7 out of 10. Typically.
Pleasant to pleasant plus. Yes.
Yeah. And I 7.5. I can't really fault it. I mean, it's really catchy. I'm going to be the one to say it. It owes a lot to Maruv and Siren Song, which is fine. I mean, I think those are really cool elements to include. The video...
Needs more Human Centipede for that to be a thing.
No.
No?
The world does not need any more of that. They've already made three of those movies.
Fair.
The only complaint I have is the ending feels really anticlimactic, and I was hoping it would build to some big note or big number, and it feels like it's building kind of over the course of the song, like something's gonna happen, and then just nothing sort of happens. And I felt the same way that she did in the music video, where she's standing in the middle of the road holding a teddy bear wondering what's going on, and I'm like, wait, that's it? That's the end of the song? I feel like this had more potential to do something really incredible there, and it's just like, okay, we're done now.
Yeah. This
is an incredibly specific complaint to have, but I think it just speaks to how perfect this song is for what it is. I wish this song was a little bit more edgy lyrically, because it has a throwdown style of bop vibe to it. Like, it is a little bit edgier. It is a little bit harder of a bop, especially compared to, say, like Adrenalina or Set Me Free. I continue to be surprised that this song came from Croatia. If you would have told me that this would have come out of the Baltics, or if you honestly would have told me this came out of the UK, I'd have been like, oh yeah, this doesn't feel like Croatia's past entries at all. This feels like an anomaly and a pleasant one, I will say. Pleasant plus. I don't think this song is breaking any new ground. I think this song sounds like a track 5 on a Christina Aguilera album from 2004. But that is neither a insult nor a championing of this song. If it goes through, I will be surprised, but not mad.
As far as female bops go in Semi 1, I feel like this is kind of in the middle. And yeah. That could probably squeak through. If all of them or most of them are.
I'd not put any chips on this, but that is just, you know, I like this song. Ain't no symphony.
I mean, looking at the running order, the fact that it's sandwiched between Tix's Fallen Angel and Hooverphonic, the wrong place. So, you know, slower, bit moodier, and this is probably going to be bright and energetic. It's going to stand out in the running order,
I suppose.
I hope too. She sings a bit in Croatian as well, like she did at the national final.
Oh, excellent! Yeah. I really hope.
I love that.
That was really cool.
I really hope that's restored.
Yeah. Well, and in the, I think we were all watching the same thing. She does have a chorus or a half chorus, something like that, in Croatian.
Yeah.
At one point. Yep. That's probably my favorite part of the song, honestly. Just to add that little bit of something, because as is, like, Derek, you use the word serviceable. I think that's perfect. Like, it does everything just fine. It's solid, but like, this isn't a world upender by any stretch.
I love the way that she says TikTok differently in English than she does in Croatian.
Talk tick.
Well, they mean different things. See, in Croatian, TikTok means you can't touch your... never mind.
we're doing a genital through line today.
We are. Speaking of genitals, our next song is Uku Subiste. This is Estonia's entry. It's The Lucky One? Yes. I might be the lucky one. I don't need a crystal ball to show me. Maybe explain that you don't know me. When it comes to you, I'm better off alone.
Okay, that is Estonia's Uku Subiste with The Lucky One, a returning artist from last year. I feel like Danny has opinions.
Yeah, Danny, it looks like you've got something to say.
Okay. Well, we were just listening to that song. I accidentally did not have myself muted, and I couldn't stop laughing. I'm going to apologize in advance personally to Uku Subiste, and I will also add that I don't have any press accreditations, and I probably won't after this episode. This is so funny. This song is so funny to me. This is so, you know, last year how we kind of just made a meme out of saying Sandro, you know, from Cyprus.
Oh, yes.
This strikes me as so like Sandro. Like, this is so like sexy people have feelings too. Like, that's honestly what this song feels like. Let's be honest, like, Uku Subiste is really sexy and he's really talented as a singer. But this is honestly like, when we hit the climactic part of the song and it's like, I'm better off alone. And then he goes, better off alone. It's so funny. This is unfortunately, like, this song is also a banger. Like, this is also like a clubby, whatever, dancey. It's like Jonas Brothers adjacent, like, but it is so like, sexy people are in love and we got feelings. God dang it. I love this song. This song is... I can't take this song seriously at all. This song is hilarious to me. I know that's not what's intended. This song is the room of Eurovision.
Oh my God.
Wow.
Wow.
And I don't mean that because it's incompetent. I just mean that it is presented so seriously. And I think if it hadn't been presented so seriously, it would not be nearly as funny to me. I love it.
This definitely feels like a filmed version of a, like, romance novel where they're living in a ski lodge, and I have to say my personal favorite bit though is in the video. It's at about a minute 40.
Is it where the woman drives by and they lock eyes with each other, like, it's in the Malcolm in the Middle episode?
It's right before that, when they both are like coming in and he's got like the tuxedo and the tie is undone and he just throws the flowers down and he looks over at her. He's so mad.
And then he like spends the rest of the music video sitting on the floor, and then all of a sudden he's standing up and he's just like throwing the end table through the hallway. It's so good, guys. If you have not, listeners, if you have not watched the music video, you have to go watch it now. It's unbelievable.
It reminds me of, I don't know if anyone's watched the show Big Mouth, but there's like a running gag where all the kids get a copy of this romance novel and you never see anything from it, but they constantly reference it. And it just kind of feels like this would be the like the romance movie that would just be playing like clips in the background. They're just constantly bringing it up as a joke. It's so overwrought and melodramatic. And the song itself is fine. I think it's okay. But I just like the whole package. Man, they're selling the hell out of this. And
I know. This is so intense. This is melodramatic is a really great,
it's, it really is, great term. It is Tommy Wiseau screaming, "You're tearing me apart, Lisa."
Oh man!
Which, and I just wanted to say, I think Uko is better than this. He's way better than this song. I think he's better than last year's song too. I remember doing the home concerts. He did a couple of covers. He's a legitimately good singer, and I don't know why he's kind of doing these by the numbers, sort of like ballad banger things. I'm just like
Yeah, he did a pretty chill cover of Euphoria.
That was really good.
Yeah.
Really, really good. I was watching it and kind of had similar feelings like, man, this Hanes commercial is deep.
Oh, I thought you said Heinz for a minute.
Whatever. Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Heinz ketchup. You can be the lucky one. I like it.
Do you really like it?
Legitimately like it. Yes, I don't love it. I understand it's schlocky.
Yes.
But I like it. I like the sound. I like the intensity, ridiculous as it may be. It works for me. It's not in my top 10. I don't think. Pretty sure.
Might want to double check.
I'm pretty sure it's not. But it's
I love listening to this song so much.
I don't know. I kind of dig it. It's way better than last year. My God.
Yeah.
What
the Christian
love is...
rock adjacent one that he said last year.
Yeah. Oh God, that one was just so lame.
What love this... is? That's
yeah.
What
it is. Yeah. It's this one is also lame, but it's a better lame. I don't know. It works for me. I like it. Sam, crap all over it.
No, I'm in the same boat as y'all. It's not a great song, but it's still oddly enjoyable the sort of I just ate half of a pint of Ben and Jerry's and I know that I'm not supposed to be doing this and yet I can't put the damn spoon down.
Mm-hmm. It's like how, you know, like what's your favorite movie? What's a movie that you absolutely love and that is legitimately good? It's like, I love Lawrence of Arabia, or like, I love The Departed, but you know what movie I've seen 30 times? Home Alone. Like,
yeah.
I don't need...
Yeah. He's not the problem. He is, no. He's a great singer. He smolders better than most male singers that I've seen at Eurovision in quite a long time. I mean, Yeah.
Smolder readings are off the charts. Yeah.
Oh yes, absolutely. Like I don't know how they train them in Estonia, but you know, it's working. It's probably his best song that he has sent to the national final. He had a song called Supernatural at Estilal 2017. He came in second place in 2019 with a song called Pretty Little Liar, and then won in 2020, 2021, as we all know.
You're just running through like CW's roster of songs of shows to make a song about.
Next year, Supergirl, like, and
yeah.
I mean, he's been a big name in Estonia for quite a while, so I'm not surprised that he got the ticket. I mean, and also in sort of the Russosphere world, he came in third place in the New Wave competition in 2010, which is a really big deal in, you know, Russia, Ukraine, Belarus, that sort of sphere. He also took part in the Russian version of The Voice in 2018, and he made it all the way to the semifinals. So he's known in that sphere. So like, I don't really count him out, but I can absolutely objectively say there are better songs, but there's still something that draws me back into this, like a spider circling the drain as you're trying to flush it down the bathtub drain. Like it just kind of keeps kind of circling around before I just fall away. And it's
the spider that can't be flushed.
Spinning his webs around the stage.
I'm sorry, I was also thinking you won the Russian version of The Voice, and I was just thinking, what is the Russian version of The Voice called? Oh, it's just called Voice.
His voice. He's just voice.
Oh, that's German. Oh. I'm just very amused that, like, of all of the weird songs this week, the one that we're, like, in real strong agreement on is like, oh, that Uku Suviste is not bad.
Uku Suviste song.
But it's all that we're saying. It's great. We're just saying it's not that bad.
Do we think this would qualify, though?
Oh, which semi?
It might.
Second semi.
It's in semi,
it's got a shot. It has a shot.
If Storm qualified for Estonia.
Oh, it really did.
This is better than Storm. I think
the lyrics are better, certainly. The rhyme scheme is a little bit more imaginative, certainly, than a storm like this can break them in like this and a rhyme scheme like this. I don't count it out completely. I wouldn't be surprised to see it fall by the wayside, but
yeah,
if that tricolor gets drawn out in the magical envelope,
wouldn't be a huge surprise qualifier. Also, wouldn't be a huge surprise non-qualifier. It'll be between like 8th and 12th.
Yeah. Yeah, it all really depends on how he connects with the camera. And knowing Uku Suviste, he's going to connect well with the camera.
How many of its neighbors are in that semi?
Let's see here.
Because Finland
you got
is.
You got Latvia.
And Latvia is.
You got Finland.
That'll help.
You got Moldova.
It's
not a neighbor per se, but if people in Moldova are watching Russian television, and if they happen to recognize him from The Voice or from New Wave.
Yeah.
Same with Georgia. So who the heck knows?
Speaking of which, so Latvia is one of their neighbors who's going to be in that final. Let's move to Latvia then.
Yes. Yay.
Next on our list. And it is, a triumphant return of Samantha Tina.
Ah, yes. Eurovision's other Samantha.
Yes. All right. Let's get ready for it. It's The Moon is Rising. I will lead, I will guide you on your way. I'm here to remind you're in the right place. Playing dirty, not my case. Giving up hopes, not my case. Being envious, not my case.
Well, that was a whole lot of Samantha Tina with The Moon is Rising from Latvia. And, oh man.
Yeah.
Where to start? Here's where I'm going to start. I forget the exact context of when they did this, but Pitchfork, the hipster music review site, there was some album that for whatever reason they rate albums from a 0 to 10 scale, and on this particular album they gave it both a 10 and a 0. That's kind of how I feel about this song. We talk about hot messes on this show,
and this is spicy in
Eurovision. this is not a hot mess. This is a nuclear mess.
Yeah, this is atomic level. Yeah,
this is. Oh my god.
Also, we were talking about Croatia's costume budget. Let me tell you.
Yeah,
they brought their own clothing.
Like that warehouse full of the savers.
Yeah. This song is.
This song is definitely this is nuclear runoff. I hate this song.
Oh, no, I don't hate it. I definitely don't hate it.
Samantha, why must I be assaulted with this drum machine?
It's so strange.
Chucked a Roland 808 at my head.
But it's like the instrumentation is minimal in certain ways, and in the same ways, it's also like completely overproduced.
I know.
Like if you just listen to the backing, it's not a ton of actual sound. But at the same time, it's just this wall of noise.
Yeah.
That is thrown at us, and it's so much. And if I thought I Am a Composer, whatever it was last year, was
what
nuts.
Was that called?
Still breathing. If I thought still breathing was crazy, like, still breathing is Claire de Lune.
I know, like, just I picture them like going into a meeting after they decided they were going to send her again. They just say, "All right, Samantha, we're bringing you back. What's your plan?" And she just leans back in her chair and goes, "Louder."
I thought you were going to say she just opened her mouth and went,
"Yeah."
Bees just are flying at me. God, I feel terrible. I'm sorry.
She's no, terrible. I mean,
there are things about this song I really like. I like the message.
Yes,
I really like the message. I think I like the idea of the song. I think maybe more than the song itself, because it's just so loud. And this is coming from someone who really, really liked Still Breathing. I think that worked better as a cohesive song, as a musical piece than it's not called The Queen Is, whatever, it's called The Moon Is Rising.
The Moon Is Rising, yeah.
Yeah. So I have no idea. I have no idea what this is going to go. I will also say, in her defense, so to speak, there is video of this being done live. She did it live at some sort of thing, and she can sing this.
Okay.
She can actually do this live.
Have no doubt about it. Like, her vocals have never been an issue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's just what those vocals are attached to.
Right, right. It's like, yeah, what's the line from Jurassic Park? We didn't think about whether or not
you should.
Yeah, yes.
You're so obsessed with whether you could, you didn't think about whether you should.
This is complete chaos.
Yeah, I can only compliment her on her stage presence, which is absolutely ferocious. Like, this is aggressively fierce, this persona that she's presenting in this song. My compliments stop there.
I feel like I need to defend this a little bit. I don't like it. I mean, that said, I respect the hell out of it, because it's so nice to see a song that's aggressive and has attitude and a lot of personality. And I feel like a lot of these songs are kind of like softer or timid. I mean, just talked about Uko Saviste, and he just, I don't know. I kind of... He's got
maybe
all that attitude
he's
in the video.
The lucky one, Derek.
I know, but like, you look at him in the video and he's all pissed off. He's throwing flowers around, but the song is just kind of melancholy and all that. But like this one, I like that it kicks the door in and it demands your attention. I like that it is loud and aggressive, and that's what the song is about. It's about being loud and aggressive. I think it's a bit more coherent than last year's. I feel like last year's was just kind of this grab bag of sound.
And this isn't?
It is, but it feels a little bit more focused to me.
I was going
to
say.
Just a little bit. I'm not saying it's markedly different, but it just, to me, feels a little bit more focused. I love the way she holds herself on stage and in the video. Like, there's not much going on in the video. It's, like, obviously a very cheap production, but, like she gets your attention. I think that's going to help her somewhat, at least. I mean, people are going to be a little put off by it, but they'll remember it for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I'm basically on the same page. Musically, it's not my thing at all. Lyrically, it's not. There are parts of this that do bother me. Like, I get what she's trying to say, but the English isn't quite polished enough for me to really get on board. Like, not my case. When it's like the repeated line that you say, like, I don't say that, and I'm a native English speaker. Do any of you guys say, no, it's not my case, not in my case? Like, that's not the case for
me. When I'm in a dressing room and I have to tell other actors that's not my makeup case.
When I'm working as a detective and somebody asks me about a murder that I'm not looking into.
It's a horse apiece, Sam.
It's a horse apiece. But I mean, like... the message is incredibly important. It's you know, self-reliance, it's feminine power, it's a beautiful and vital thing, and I'm happy to see that. That's great. The imagery of the blood moon in particular as a very, you know, I just saw one of the three of you grimace. I'm not going to say who when I bring up the image of the blood moon. Okay, fine. It's Derek.
I just thought of the ending to The Witch.
The Vavitch.
Must pay homage to the Vavitch. Yeah, we're paying homage to the pagan gods, so I'm behind it.
I mean, that's what it kind of feels like when she talks about the blood moon is rising. I'm like, there's a weird witchcraft thing going on here, and I'm not quite sure I understand it.
See, my brain went to administration. 28
The administration?
Yeah. 28 day cycles.
Defenestration?
Yes. No, that was that other scene in Ukusibi.
Yes, there it is. So, Sam, I'll just bring this up. Earlier, at some previous conversation, you compared this to like a 90s Queen Latifah, Missy Elliott kind of song.
In terms of the attitude, in terms of the unabashed, you know, feminine power, I kind of got that vibe the first time that I heard it.
I honestly was consciously thinking of that during like the first minute of the song, and then the other 2 minutes just, you know, getting pummeled.
But I mean, just because I equate it with revolutionary and groundbreaking acts doesn't necessarily mean that I consider this on that same level.
Yeah.
That's it. I'll say the contest is better for having something like this there.
That I will agree with you on. It adds to the diversity and the depth and the breadth. And honestly, good on Samantha Tina. This is like her 85th try to get to the contest.
Yeah. It's so great that she's finally going to get this. And it's a song that I think she's very happy with, that she seems to really to be enjoying. It seems very her.
Oh, yeah.
What that means, I don't know. It's kind of fun in the way that, like, a roller coaster with 5 loops in it is fun.
I don't like roller coasters very much.
It's fun in the way Action Park is fun.
Oh, God, Traction Park.
And that I get to the end and I'm like, okay, well, at least I survive.
Yeah. And I'll note, speaking of surviving this song,
oh God,
it's on right after Blind Channel.
Oh, God.
Which is an unbelievable choice.
Wow, and if I have to take a dump, I know when I'll take it.
Well, make sure you finish that dump quickly, because right after that is John's Tears.
Whoa!
Mm-hmm. Talk about whiplash.
We go Victoria from Bulgaria, Blind Channel, which, oh my God. Then Samantha Tina, then John's Tears. Then that damn Denmark song to close it. God. Semi 2 is insane.
Yeah.
Insane. Does this make it out of Semi 2, do you think? My guess is no.
Maybe.
But
maybe
if
no.
If she's doing something incredible with the staging, there could be a shot. But I mean, it's not going to be an issue with her voice. It's not going to be an issue with her trying to sell the song.
No.
It probably won't be an issue with the staging.
No.
Unless she really, really over eggs the pudding. Yeah. It's just.
Which seems possible.
Yeah actually.
I mean, I don't know. The live performance that she has done, it's basically just her and dancers. I don't know. If I had to guess, I would say it does not get through.
No.
No.
It is a nuclear mess. We had beautiful mess, and now we have nuclear mess. All right. Shall we go on to another mess?
Please.
Here on the Ukusubi Stay Fan Hour.
Yes, we can. It's time to talk about ticks. This is Ticks from Norway. It is Fallen Angel. What you ever saw? Okay, like I said, that's Norway's entry. That's the artist is Tix with Fallen Angel. We've sort of coined a number of different terms for certain genres of music. Slutwave being probably one of our...
Hang on, I did not make up
slutwave. We did not invent
that,
but we have just appropriated it because it's very useful to us.
That is true.
I'm gonna try to invent a name for the genre of song that is Tix's Fallen Angel.
Oh, dear.
Is this the scumbag ballad? Like, because this, honestly, I have to write the mental image that came to mind that I had to write down in the middle of this. It seems like at any point he will turn to the camera, a tear rolling down his face, then kiss his 2 fingers and lift them up to the heavens and make a peace sign. Like, that just seems like the kind of, this seems, I can't believe that this is not from the mockumentary Pop Star Never Stop, Never Stopping.
Oh my God.
I can't believe that this song exists and is not ironic. This feels so much like a scummy pop star trying so hard to make his girl cry, to convince his girl that he got feels. This, I get such slimy feelings from this song. This feels like Cobra Starship trying to go for the Grammy. It's so bereft of goodness. I would like to cast this song into hell. I can't believe that the national final performance literally has bolts of lightning and him in angel wings and little black devil creatures literally holding him in chains. Because guess what, guys? He's a fallen angel. I know we've talked about the performer is sort of assuming that kind of hedonistic rock star or pop star persona, that that's kind of an act. What I'm saying is, I hate that so much. I hate this. I hate the feeling I get from this song so much.
I'm looking at the lyrics and
oh, it's so bad.
It's rough. It's
why
rough.
Why do I can't keep her out of heaven? The angel, my girl is an angel. Oh my god! There's a key change, and there's also a key change. Which is a sin.
Thoroughly undeserved in this case, I think. The line that gets me right towards the beginning is, how could she ever love someone like me? That's like, dude, because you say things like that about yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
And like, yeah, I'm kind of in the same boat as Danny here. Like, you know, the official Eurovision YouTube has like put stuff out about the story of Tix and about him and about the character and about all of this. And it feels like they really want us to like this guy. There are things about the guy, I know that a lot of people really like this. A lot of people really like this song, and so I don't want to be overly antagonistic towards him or the song, or the people who like it. If you enjoy it so much, I would love to know more about why, because to me, this just isn't good. It sounds like something Justin Bieber would have done.
Yes,
early in his career. And I'll note that early in his career, he was like 12.
Yeah.
Baby, I thought you'd always be mine. Like, that's where it's at to me. Like, I just... Tix seems like an interesting person.
Or Andreas seems like an interesting person.
Yes. Andreas seems like an interesting person. Tix seems like I will be generous and say interesting character, but you're right. It is very much a dirtbag sort of character. There is enough there that there could be a package, a product that would be like, okay, I can get behind this, but this isn't it. This isn't a good song.
I mean, like, for me, like, good on Andreas. And I'm going to be referring to him as Andreas because it seems like he is trying to break out of the Tix mold that got his career started in Norway with this Russa music that is basically like spring break, senior year kind of rush music. And he's trying to break away from that. And this is sort of one of his first songs as, you know, distancing himself from the frat boy music that he basically got his start in. But he hasn't quite grown into Andreas yet. He's still wearing the mantle of Tix. And so you have this image that's just overly cliched and overly characterized. And it's like, you could tell that he's trying to break out of Tix, but like, those walls are still up there and I can't necessarily connect with him. And the worst thing of all about the song is the fact that I don't remember a damn thing about it once the song is over. I remember a moment of the chorus. And like I've mentioned before on this show, I don't remember Fallen Angel. It morphs into other songs. In my case, it invariably morphs into The Reason by Hoobastank. And I can't not do that.
That's another bunch of dirtbag tryhards trying to be emotional for their girlfriends.
But they opened for Incubus, so I had to like them.
I see.
I saw them open for Linkin Park.
Nobody likes the openers.
Yeah.
We've established also this.
No, you don't like the openers.
I honestly think Tix would be best friends with the three scumbag farmers also from the Norwegian final.
Oh, Bima Nepagorn.
They'd be best friends.
Oh my god, yeah. Man. Can we get them next year? Yeah.
I would love seeing them. That song is problematic for other reasons.
Yeah, I suppose so.
It sure was.
It was. But they wore John Deere green. I mean, like...
Somehow American.
Oh, hey, Derek, finish us up.
Yeah, seriously.
I got so much to say on this, and I don't even know where to start. So, yeah. Interesting thing I learned once was that Andrew Dice Clay and Larry the Cable Guy... Yes. I'm going somewhere with this, trust me.
Okay.
So the guys, I don't know their real names, but those are like, these are these personas that they created as part of their stand-up routine. They used to do several impersonations of these characters that they made up. And eventually those characters became so popular that they're just like, we're just going to do whole sets as these characters. So Andrew Dice Clay just came in and did Andrew Dice Clay for an entire set. It wasn't just like part of a sketch he was doing. And then he adopted this persona, and that's now who he is. And I kind of look at Tix and I think, okay, you created this character for yourself that it's become your entire life now. It's just who you are all the time, regardless of whether or not you're anything like this person. And I get that he's trying to get out of it, but he's still wearing the full costume. He's still doing interviews as this character for the most part. He's got the headband that literally says Tix on it. So it's kind of hard to separate the two. That said, this song to me is, it's the Lance Bass solo single. It just, like, it's just, it's, and it just to me sounds really cheap. It sounds like a karaoke cover of a song that he's doing. I don't know what it is. It just, to me, it just doesn't sound well produced. And he just, yeah, I just don't think he's a very good singer either. And I thought, like, how did this beat Monument by Kano? Because that one had so much going behind it. And I guess the Norwegians just really like this guy. I don't understand how he's doing really well in the betting odds for some reason.
Keep in mind, the betting odds, it doesn't mean only anything, yeah, but it's just who is putting money where. It's not a predictor.
Yeah, but Norway's not one of those countries that gets like a default assumption of doing well. The way a country like Sweden would. Sweden's always in like the top five even before they've ever released a song. I feel like Norway, they could go either way because they're just, their history, looking at it, they're all over the place in terms of points and that. So
they have the most last places by a huge margin.
Yeah.
That's really unfortunate. I don't know. I feel like this could qualify in spite of itself.
Yeah.
Obviously, Norway loves this guy. Does that mean Europe is also going to love this guy? Are they going to get it in the way that we don't? Maybe. I don't know.
Can we move along?
Yeah,
we have one more. We have one more.
I mean, the thing is, you know who kind of had this emotional vibe but did it way better? Go was on. Ukusubi Stays.
No, he didn't. No, he didn't.
All right.
There was
now
no
we can
irony
move on.
About Uku's song.
Ukusubi Stays is a legitimately better singer.
The one more song that we have to get to is, I'm sorry, if you thought we were going anywhere else but wild in this episode, you're dead wrong. It's Azerbaijan.
Oh, God.
She's back.
Let's go.
Eric, you want to bring us in?
Yes, I do, Danny. This is Effendi from Azerbaijan with Matahari.
Just like Cleopatra, the army of lovers.
And that was Effendi with And that was Effendi with Matahari. What'd you all think?
Can we just like copy paste my notes from last year and just edit it right in? Okay, because
we can just quote her own lyrics, just like
Cleopatra.
Cleopatra.
I mean, I respect when an artist has the sound that they have, their vibe, and they have consistency. But you know that story when John Fogerty got sued by his record label for sounding too much like John Fogerty because he put out a solo
album.
Sounds
exactly like a Creedence Clearwater Revival song.
Yeah.
Well, that's because I was once the lead singer of Creedence Clearwater Revival.
Exactly. This is. What else is there to say? It's taking all of the bits of Cleopatra that people liked, you know, the female empowerment of a historical figure with a beat. With a beat with Azerbaijani instrumentation. I will say good honor for at least putting in one line in Azerbaijani,
sure.
You know, instead of, you know, taking the Lotus Sutra like they had for Cleopatra, instead the sort of garbled sound is actually Azerbaijani. Yolanda
Menya. Whatever Doodle Bob says in that one episode of SpongeBob.
Well, evidently, Doodle Bob is saying, "I am a liar. I am burning. I am evil."
This is what she's saying. Points for me.
Yeah,
I definitely have to agree with you, Sam. Every single element of this feels like a synonym for the element that was used the year before.
But the thing that detracts it is that last segment of the song,
where the instrumentation,
the rhythm changes completely. Yeah, that part. The rhythm changes completely, the vibe changes completely, and it's like you're taking the climax of the song and you're just pasting another song onto there altogether. And if I was feeling the vibe from the first 2.5 minutes, that last 30 seconds just completely breaks me out of it. And any enjoyment that I got out of the song is gone.
To be fair, and I'm not saying this is good or bad, Cleopatra also did that. Which
not as dramatically.
Because of course it did.
Yeah. As dramatically? Yeah.
I mean, Cleopatra is already at like a 10 or 11, like from the get-go, where this maybe starts out, maybe not quite so much. So it feels like a bigger jump, I guess. Yeah.
But, I mean, I don't know what else to say other than what I said last year and what I just said in the last minute and a half. Guys, take it. Just take this off my plate.
I have a couple other suggestions for something she could sing besides Mata Hari. Because apparently all you need to do is just put in the most mindless lyrics about whatever you want, so long as it fits the rhythm. Eggplant Pané, Brownie Sunday, James Buchanan, Denver Broncos.
Ooh, I like,
she really, all of these would be more interesting. And honestly, if you just set the lyrics to any of these other subjects, it'd be more accurate than her talking about Mata Hari and the army of lovers. None of this has anything to do with Mata Hari. Maybe in like the most cartoonish rendering. Just give me Brownie Sunday.
I would rather listen to Army of Lovers, frankly. I mean, Crucified was a bop.
I think one thing that we're kind of missing, or at least haven't said yet, is this song is the same as Cleopatra, except it's just way more cynical. It feels like when the show got canceled and they had to write another song, they're like, fine, damn it. Just change some of the words. There's a real anger behind it that is coming through in the way the song is presented, and it's not part of the song. It's like asking a student to redo the homework and they just are like, screw you, I'll do it this way. I'll just gotta do it again. And I can tell Effendi doesn't seem like her heart's in it as much, which I think is a shame. I think she's a good singer. I think Cleopatra was a lot of fun. Yeah, the lyrics, I went back and listened to Cleopatra again a couple days ago just to remind myself, like, well, what was Cleopatra really like originally? Am I just remembering it as the same song? And it felt like it told a story about Cleopatra. And it like mentioned Mark Antony and all these other things. I'm like, oh, this is kind of interesting. It's got all these historical references in that. This one just doesn't. It feels like a Mata Hari movie. Like she's describing a movie that was sort of based on her life, but the person really didn't do any research on it. It's kind of vague, and it references these odd things like, oh yeah, she was a spy, and what are some other spy things?
Yeah, just like a spy, I'm going to uncover your secrets.
Yeah,
sure.
Secrets and poison and lovers and what else we got? There's no heart in it, and I feel like Azerbaijan is a country that pretty comfortably qualifies most of the time. And I can see this getting through because maybe you never heard Cleopatra, but even still, just in a vacuum listening to this song, the cynicism and then just bitterness about it, it just kind of colors the whole thing for me. And it just makes me really upset listening to it.
Eric?
No.
He likes it. He's got that smirk.
So here's the thing.
Oh, God.
So the transitive property of mathematics says that if A equals B and B equals C, then therefore A equals C. So if Cleopatra slaps, and it does, by the transitive property, Mata Hari also slaps.
Don't try to math your way out of this one, Nelson.
Hang on. There's more.
Oh,
don't
God.
Worry. Cleopatra was my, I think, number two song last year.
Oh, you're kidding.
I'm not kidding. It was. This is not my number two. That the transitive property does not apply there. I do enjoy it because I enjoyed Cleopatra, because they're the same. That said, it really does scream, we didn't want to do another song. We liked the one we had. We paid a lot of money for it, which they did.
We stole it from the San Marinese.
Yeah. And we want to do it. So we're gonna kind of do it. Like, this is more egregious than Shum copying from a folk song or whatever it was. Like, if Shum has to change because of that, this should have had to have changed, honestly. Because they're not even trying. This is the same. It's just, it's the same. And I recall, actually, give me one second because I want to look this up. Back in February, she released a list of 6 possible songs that she was considering. It was just a list of titles. I just pulled it up. Breathing You, Manifesto, Matahari, Oh You Pretty, Ratata, about the Pokemon, I assume, and and when I Am Gone. And like, when I hear this and think, oh, they had 6 songs that they were considering, and then they landed on this one that's exactly the same as Cleopatra, I just think, you were never considering these other 5 songs, were you?
Yeah, they were, because When I Am Gone was going to be When I Am Gone, and it was going to be Ratatata.
Oh, You Pretty.
Manifesto, Breathing You, Ooh. Anyway, this is frustrating. It's frustrating. Azerbaijan has a really rich and interesting history in this contest, and Cleopatra was going to be a big part of that. And it is a big part of that. Like, obviously, it didn't get to compete. But the fact that it didn't get to compete doesn't mean you can just send this thing that's the same, that's basically the same thing, and expect to get that same magic, I guess. It's frustrating. I still enjoy it as a bop in the way that I enjoyed Cleopatra to a degree. But it just reeks of laziness in terms of trying to do something else. And I'm not saying that you have to do something else. Like, Serbia, Loco Loco, sort of the same deal, right? But, like, this is, it's so egregious that I just, it's hard to get past.
Anybody have anything else to say on Azerbaijan before we move on to our little weekly conclusion?
You know who really evolved was Uku Suviste. yeah, okay, so let's wrap this up. Italy, Croatia, Estonia, Latvia, Norway, Azerbaijan were our songs this week. Man, what a lineup we somehow ended up with here.
It's the Hufflepuff day.
Oh, wow. So our worst of the week. Let's start with Danny.
Norway. It's close with Azerbaijan, but oh, Norway.
Derek.
Italy.
Wow.
Yeah.
Sam's unhappy.
I am unhappy. I'm also like ripping my brain apart whether I find what do I find worse? Self-plagiarism, being completely forgettable, or being completely overwhelming. So do I hate Azerbaijan, Norway, or Latvia the most?
I know. There's a nice smorgasbord of bad to choose from this
week. Yeah, seriously. Like
smorgasbord.
In a contest setting though, I feel like forgettable would be the biggest sin.
And for that I'm gonna have to say Norway, just because Latvia I get the message, and Azerbaijan I just look at as a case study.
I look at it as
an academic study rather than a song.
It's Norway for me too, because
the sting is worse knowing that Kano came so close.
I really don't want to hold that against him, because like that's not his fault. He didn't get to pick his competition, and so you know that is what it is. That's whatever. Yeah, Kano did come very close, but it's okay. Like, they had their shot. And Kano has been very supportive of Tix in all of this, which I really appreciate.
Well, but, I mean, I'm not surprised. The three of them are like sweetness and light and love and joy. So, of course, he'd be like wonderfully, you know, supportive of their compatriots.
Of course. Yeah. But my pick is Norway because it's bad. Like I have issues, obviously, with Latvia and Azerbaijan. And I'm not really super crazy about Croatia either, but that's not going to be the bottom rung for me. But there are things I like a fair amount in some ways about Latvia and Azerbaijan. Norway, no, I don't get it. I think it is just not good. So that's 3 votes for Norway, 1 vote for something else. I don't remember. Danny, what's your favorite one of the week? Oh, no. Oh, God. He's going to do it.
Say it.
I just love Estonia so much. Yes.
It happened.
It's so happened. It's so re-listenable. It's so entertaining. I can have it on in the background and I'll just be like, oh, whatever. This is just a dumb pop song. But when you pay attention to it, it is so, it is elevated to a new level. I really like Italy, you know? But I think this week I just have to say, oh boy, I'm going to give it to Estonia for reasons that are objectively dubious.
Fair enough. Derek?
I've been waiting for this moment all week to find out what your favorites of these six would be. I think Croatia. It's serviceable. I think it's fine. I think among this group, it's the one that it's catchy. I like it.
This is a rough week for Derek, I feel like.
Yeah. So,
I looked at all of these and I'm just like, oh boy, I'm going to be the Danny of this week.
Yep. I feel like I should send you a fruit basket or something, you know, like a little care package, because you seem to be in actual discomfort through some of this.
Some of them, yes. I didn't, and this wasn't on purpose. I was just like kind of building
the list. Yeah, you put this list together.
I did, and it did not occur to me until a week ago when I was like, hey, what are we doing next week? Oh, Jesus Christ.
For me, this week was just a slow descent from respectable into contemptible, Sam.
Oh, you know it's Italy.
Yeah.
You know it's Italy. There's no shock or surprise there. I've been crying about this in San Remo.
Eric.
Italy for me, too. It's awesome. Everyone who dislikes it is wrong, and it's awesome. That's...
Yep.
And I realized...
He'll teach me. No. I mean, sometimes the caller is necessary.
No. Well, I mean, as we've discussed, lots of people like Norway, and I don't get it. I love Italy. Some people, Derek included, don't get it. And you know what? It's cool. That's why there are 39 songs. You're going to get something that speaks to you, and you'll also get Latvia and other things. Yeah. Spoken at. Oh, man.
I will say this week, more than any other, I am dying to know what our listeners think about these songs.
Absolutely.
I am desperate to know.
Yeah. You at home, please let us know what your favorites are, what your least favorites are, you know, rewarm our hot takes and let us know what you think about them, because this has been a crazy, crazy week, and we want you to join in the fun with us. So again, that is Twitter and Facebook at 12pointsUSA. Don't hold back. We love hearing what you have to say about it. And also, we love hearing what you have to say about us. So if you are listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, anywhere where it allows you to subscribe, give a review, give us a star rating, please let us know what you think of us. It helps us be found by more listeners and helps us make a better show, honestly. So yeah, help us out. How many more weeks of this do we have, guys?
Just two.
Oh,
one. Just one.
Just one.
And then a final of some sort that we do?
Well, semifinals and a final. We'll have some festivities built around the thing. Eurovision, the thing that we do the show about.
Yeah.
That's what we'll do.
We'll cobble something together.
Yes. One more week of song previews. There are six to go. If you've been following along, you will know what they are. And I don't. I should look it up because I don't remember. But we'll figure it out next week.
All right. I've been Samantha.
I've been Derek.
I've been Eric.
And I've been Danny.
And on that note, America,
stop listening now.
After the episode, there's a stinger. Sting, 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 stinger. Sting, sting. The thing after the show's over that everyone waits for.